Welcome to the Dream Views podcast. I'm Canis Lucidus.
And I'm Ophelia Blue.
This is episode 3 of the Dream Views question and answer podcast, where we answer your user-submitted questions about lucid dreaming or regular dreaming or daydreaming or pretty much whatever you want us to talk about. In case you've found your way to this recording via YouTube or any other way at all, it's worth mentioning that the home base of this podcast is dreamviews.com. Most of you listening probably already know that. But DreamViews is a website with all kinds of resources and a huge discussion forum all about lucid dreaming. So, and this is where I learned to do this, and it's kind of where we're based out of. As always, send us your questions by posting them in the Submit Your Questions thread. Got some great ones tonight. What else do we have to announce? Oh, we have a Facebook page. Thanks to Xanos for that. We are at facebook.com/DreamViewsPodcast, one word. We got, what, like five likes on it so far? So if you go in there now and like it, you are getting on the ground floor. You're like a charter member. I think that was it. That's a lot of administrative stuff. So I was shooting for keeping this episode under an hour, but it's just you and me recording tonight, so I think we can do this.
We can do it.
So yeah, we got another great set of questions this week, and I don't think that I know how to pronounce a single one of the submitter's usernames, so it could get interesting.
Yeah, we'll have to give it our best shot in the pronunciations. Okay. I think I have this first one. It's Daredevil Pwn. You know, the Pwn is like own. You know, he
works
owns Daredevil. Yeah, okay. It's this one's on time dilation. He says, "Hey guys, I'm very interested in time dilation and how can it be done? Have any of you ever made a lucid dream feel like days, weeks, months, or even years?" Now, this is super huge, loaded question lots of possible explanations, and yes. You know, LaBerge has his experiment on it. I wanted to start with an example that I had and what I think about it. I talked about this lucid dream several months ago, last year, with Rare Cola, where it might have been just like my first or second wild. my boyfriend's alarm had gone off at about 5, and I went right back to sleep, felt the vibrations, felt the lucid dream onset, and, you know, started to do a task of the month. And I think I did one, and I attempted another one. And the whole time, I felt like it had taken about 30 minutes, but also the whole time I remember thinking that when Danny wakes up, he has about a 10-minute bathroom ritual of getting ready before then he wakes me up. And so I knew, like, at any moment this dream should end because he's going to wake me up. I don't have a lot of time. But it felt like it just kept going on and on and on. And I even remember at one point thinking, golly, did he forget to wake me up? But, you know, whatever. I'm going to keep going on with this, with the lucid dream.
Yeah.
And it felt like it took about 30 minutes. And then finally I did hear this buzzing sound. I remember I was with a dream character at that time, and we were like, what is that? And I was like, I don't know. And I realized, oh, that's his electric toothbrush, which is the final phase of the it wasn't, I think we were talking about this earlier. It's not actually his snot rockets that woke me up. I didn't hear the snot rockets this time. It was the electric toothbrush.
And so the snot rockets just help you mark time.
Yeah, if I'd heard that, then I'd be like, okay, that's about 5 minutes. The snot rockets is like 5 minutes, and then the electric toothbrush is about 10 minutes. So I'm like, I'm thinking that, wow, did he just really take 30 minutes in the bathroom when he normally takes 10? So I finally woke up, and I was like, I asked him, I was like, hey, Danny, I just had a lucid dream after your alarm went off. It's like, did you take a longer time in the bathroom? He's like, nope, it's been 10 minutes. See, it's 5:10. I was like, cool. That was my first example of time dilation.
That's awesome. And because you know for sure that was the right amount of time, because the alarm went off at 5, right?
Yep.
I heard that right? And
yep.
then 5:10 is when you started talking to him.
Yep.
And you had an experience that in your estimation was like 30 minutes worth of stuff, 30 minutes worth of memories, right?
Yeah, not an epic time dilation by any means, but
but you know what? Three times over, pretty darn good, you know? Pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of piddling around and a lot of just, you know, attempting tasks, failing one and you know, trying to do it, and just I was running around the backyard doing all kinds of stuff. This was one where we had to write something. Oh, we had to write a waking life memory on a piece of paper.
Oh, wow.
So I remembered that I was like, okay, where's the piece of paper? You know, because I was in the backyard of our house, and I was like, I remember there was a piece of paper by the grill. Like, there really was, in real life, a piece of paper by the grill that my son had left there, and it was still there, like, in the dream, it was there. So I was like,
oh, perfect. But that was not planned.
No, not
you
planned.
You hadn't said, hey, leave the paper for me to, that was just there?
No, but yeah, I just remembered that there was a little piece of garbage that needed to be thrown away at some point, and I was like,
oh,
paper,
yay.
Yeah, no kidding. And then I was like, oh, if I had a pen, that would be great. I looked down on the ground, there was a pen, you know, and then I wanted to the memory I wrote was, last night for dinner I had chicken, something like that.
Yeah.
And I remember I must have tried to write that thing like 10 damn times, because I would write it and the words would get garbled. If I looked at the word I was writing and then looked away and then looked back at it, it was all just gone.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a
writing
mess.
Writing is tough stuff. Some people are amazing at it, but
it is not easy for me. Not easy for me. So all of this stuff took all this time, you know, summoning all the parts that I needed to do it, and then moving on to another, I don't remember what else I tried to do. And then, and it was all this time. And I remember like I was telling you earlier, I remember thinking, you know, God, I hope I'm not, you know, going to be late for work, because I feel like this should have ended by now.
Right,
and,
right.
And
it's funny too, because, you know, in spite of the, you know, having a little anxiety and everything, the dream kept going. Because when I get a little anxious about just anything, it can kind of shorten the experience for me. But I mean, it sounds like you stayed in it, stayed locked in. I mean, do you have any idea like how you managed to extend it? Was it just the sheer amount of stuff that you did, or what was it? Do you think?
I think so, and this is gonna segue nicely into what something that I read in a thread, where this thread by Flow of My Soul. It's a really great thread about lucid dreams and time. One reply by Box 77. He talks about, I'll just quote what he says. He says, "I think it could seem a long time because of perhaps we used to take shortcuts from mainframes to mainframes and don't spend much time in the middle." So it's like, if you have a dream, a lucid dream, and you're recalling major, major points, only like maybe three major points, it'll seem like a short time. But if you are focused on every single little point, I'm trying to do this task, and I need to summon these three things just to do this task, and I have to do three things for each thing I have to summon to do the task, you know, it and then you recall all that, it's going to seem like a much longer period of time, just like it does in waking life. If you try to recall a day where nothing really significant happened, you can recall it pretty quick.
That's a great point.
Yeah, if you
think about how much time you spend doing mundane things like driving somewhere, or like staring aimlessly at your computer screen or whatever, you know, scratching some body part, or, you know, it's one of these things where, you know, your mind, when you face that much novel experience, there's kind of this assumption that a lot of time has passed.
Exactly. Yeah. It may be different for people who are literally having dreams that feel like I'm talking about, you know, few minutes turning into lots of minutes. But when you're talking about a day turnover, you know, where you're having days and weeks and things like that, you know, where you're celebrating breakfast many times over in one dream, then you know that's really something. That's not anything I've ever experienced, so I don't really have an explanation for that, or even how to induce that, because that kind of goes into something else we were talking about earlier, where if you're having a great time, time's going to go by fast.
It does.
If you're having a crappy time or boring time, it's going to go by slow. So that, you know, by definition, you know, a lucid dream is something that's fun, you don't want it to end. I don't know how you're going to make it last years unless you just happen to have a really happy accident.
A happy accident of like a year-long, crappy, boring, lucid dream is what we're going for. I cannot wait. Let's try it, folks.
Oh, if I could only wake up. This is really boring.
No, but it's true, though. You know, like when you're in a waiting room and you forgot your iPhone or whatever it is, and, you know, you're sitting there just watching the seconds creep by, you know, it is an eternity.
It really
feels that way. And like when you're, it's tough because you were doing lots and lots of stuff, you know, and having a good time and everything. But I think part of it was being so focused on what you're doing, and probably, in my opinion, on the fact that you were trying to really remember what you're doing. Cause that was something else that you mentioned, just a few minutes ago too, is how much, you have over time learned to focus on remembering the high points of your lucid dreams and saying, you know what, I am gonna remember this later. You know, I'm gonna filing this away right now. This experience, and I think that is. I'll get into this a little bit later, but I definitely believe that's a huge part of our experience of time is what we remember, because you only are ever truly experiencing a given moment, but that just passes. It slips through your fingers and it's a memory the next second, and so your life is just this sequence of these memories, and so the way that you store them and lay them down and sequence them and organize them, that is your perception of time, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, by that token, if you were to try and recall what you did in waking life yesterday, if you only remember a few things, you might think, oh, it was a short day. Or if you really tried to remember every single thing you did, then there you go. It's a much longer day.
Right, right.
And it works.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a day where everything's boring, you have a boring commute, and you know, at work, you like Candy Crush your day away, you know? I mean, you're not going to remember a whole lot about that day. It's not going to be one of these that sticks in your mind for, you know, it just sort of vanishes. And, you know, it's sort of a sad thing to say in a way, but, you know, you just, it's like you didn't really experience a full day. And I guess, yeah, going for the opposite, probably with the lucid dreams, a good strategy, you know, like doing a lot of stuff and you make the effort to remember it, then it's a lot more likely to get filed away, I think.
Yes. Making effort, make that effort to remember the goals that you want to do. So you don't waste any of that lucid time that's zipping by so quickly. Mm-hmm. Make an effort to, you know, I've got task number one to do. Okay. I did that. Am I still dreaming? Task number two, task number three. And then when you wake up, make an effort again. Remember everything that you just did, so that way you don't lose all that wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm.
And just even that right there will make it seem a little bit longer. Maybe not by years, but you know, we don't want to lose any of this, because it is such a short little snippet of wonderful gift of time that we have. So you know, don't let any of it slip away. Make the effort to have those goals, and make the effort the next morning to remember it any way that you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree.
All right. Do you have any more thoughts about time dilation? For fuck, frittle. Okay, Ninja Dragon.
No. That is the handoff I want. I couldn't have scripted it any better than that. In fact, I may roll with this.
Do it. I dare you. I triple dog dare you.
Was that did you really just triple dog dare you to roll with this?
I went for the throat.
All right, I'm rolling.
All right.
Yeah. I do suspect that I've done this while lucid. The dream that I recall having this happen was a trip to the zoo with the family. Right. So it's one of these things that it was a nice scene, you know, and it had a lot of scene jumps, and we did a lot of stuff. So it was one of these where when I actually look back and remember it, it's like one moment I'm walking through the parking lot, have a lot of very specific memories of that, but you notice that they're chopped up, there's space in between them. And then I recall actually wandering through the park, you know, and then seeing animals, and then the kids playing at this crazy, like, combined playground petting zoo thing, where there's like these billy goats wandering around in the playground equipment and stuff like that. Just the really cool stuff, you know, and like the transitions, like I vaguely remember walking through this grassy area and things like that, but those memories are a lot more hazy and feel sort of stretched out. Like there's a lot of assumptions probably built in there, but in the end, the experience felt like an hour of content, you know, probably that could cover, if it was happening in real life, like an afternoon of experiences, you know. But I mean, I wonder if it was even an hour, you know, like looking at the content, like, oh, it feels like an hour worth of stuff. And, you know, but I wonder, could that have been less, you know, because like you remember, I just got back from a family vacation, a real life, waking life family vacation, sorry, where, you know, like we, you know, spent time at various parks and you know, like when you remember what you actually did, like if you play the movie reel in your head of those memories, it only goes for maybe, you know, maybe you've got 20 minutes or 30 minutes, I don't know what, of memories, but they fit together, they're strung together in a framework that shows you that yes, this was an entire day, this was a whole afternoon. And then I think what happened for me in that lucid dream is that, you know, the memories as I was making them were hung up in those same arrangements, and so it really was like experiencing that amount of time, because I had enough experience for it to feel like that amount of time. And then it sort of just arranged that way in my brain so that it really feels like, hey, I had tons and tons of experience, you know, and it's really cool. In general, that was one where I truly suspect that it was stretched out. Now I've done it big time in non-lucids.
Yeah.
I think that the illusion's probably easier to maintain. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Just
because in a lucid dream, by definition, you are operating with that skeptical sort of frame of mind. But like I had a dream that felt like a week, but looking back at what actually had, I was convinced that it had been a week, but looking back, all it was a week of my wife and I going to the same taco stand after seeing a movie, and I order a taco and I have no pants on.
And oh,
the next day we see a movie, I order a taco, no pants. It happened literally like seven times. Yeah, and every time I'm like, man, this keeps happening, you know?
That's funny.
And looking at it, it's like I vaguely had this, you know, memory of going to work. It's a false memory, you know, false memory of going to work and then going to this movie and then going to the taco stand. But I only really remember the taco stand and the movie part. And the rest of it's kind of just like this BS filter. And so I think in non-lucids, it's way, way easier to make it happen. Okay. So obviously we can't really dilate time in the physical world. I think we all agree on that. Like,
yeah,
you're not actually gonna, you know, make it, you know, you're not gonna actually sit there and lay asleep for a year somehow. You're not actually sleeping that long. So what really matters is creating the subjective experience of dilating time. That really is the only thing that matters, because all we're doing in lucid dreaming is creating experiences. You know, we don't actually do the things that we experience in waking life. We simply create that in our mind. It's a dream. It's something that's an experience of our own creation. So how do you know, is this just another experience that we can create? And I think that certainly your example proves that at least to some degree we can. It's just a question of how far can you stretch this out? And there is a great thread, in addition to the one that you pointed out on here. It's called, this is on dreamviews.com. Of course, it's called "Why Is Everything But Dilating Time Possible in a Lucid Dream?" And I'll when I post this up, I'll put a link to that and the thread that you mentioned too.
Okay.
And there's some great posts in there. It's like six pages of great posts, some really thick stuff, some excellent philosophical stuff by Sagius, and several really good posts by Ali Zarin, where, you know, she lays out, you know, what she thinks is possibly going on neurochemically in a time dilation experience. I'm not going to read that. It's just, it's excellent. It's super, super long, really thorough, got loads of neurochemistry. But the summary of it is that in her view, and in mine too, is that the perception of time is probably tied to the rate at which we are encoding memories. All right. So if your brain is busy with lots and lots of other tasks, like, you've got less mental capacity to encode memories. So like if you have ever sat down and like, if you get really into a Sudoku problem or a crossword or something like that, the time can just seem to fly by, you know, because a great deal of your mental energy is focused on this task, not laying down a lot of novel experiences, but just doing something that's fun, you know, and you know, brings you a lot of pleasure, but isn't necessarily making time go very slowly. It seems to pass really quickly. I mean, that's what people talk about, that stuff, killing time. And they mean that. That's the basic framework, right? Is that how fast we encode, or how much memory we're encoding per unit of time probably affects how long we feel it lasted. So what about LaBerge's experiments? I should probably just re-summarize what those were. But Stephen LaBerge, if anyone's not familiar with Stephen LaBerge, he's godfather, pioneer of lucid dreaming, the inventor of the MILD technique, which is, you know, one of the most fundamental of the lucid dreaming techs. And what he did was he got experienced lucid dreamers to count a certain range of numbers. I don't know what it was, 1 to 10, 1 to 20, something like that, and said, hey, count, you know, about 1 second per number. And then they wake themselves up once they had completed the task. And he found that in general, it was about equal to real time. So if they counted off 20 seconds in the dream, it was roughly equivalent to 20 seconds in waking life. And so that would seem to indicate that the brain, pretty much when it's dreaming, passes time at the same rate, as is in waking life. But the counter argument to that, and I think a really convincing one, is that is this just the brain doing this because we asked it to, right? You know, that we have, you know, by sitting there counting out seconds, we've asked the brain to do this particular job, focused all of our energy on it. And the brain's pretty good at answering our requests, you know, and so we've said essentially, all right, you know, count off clock seconds, basically. And don't worry about creating some dream experience for me. Just count off seconds. And so that's maybe just us getting what we asked for. So that was I think that's a pretty good explanation for that. So if we take all this, that we think the amount of content that we remember affects how long the experience seems to last. One idea that was mentioned in the thread was to try floating in a white void and imagining seconds on the clock ticking more slowly. Yeah, you know what I mean?
So basically,
you got a clock and you imagine the clock, you know, slowing down and time just really, really ticking by slowly. And the idea there is that by being in a white void, you're not generating much dream content. So your brain's not doing a whole lot of anything except this slowing down time that you're asking it to do. And, you know, that this is all pretty speculative because I don't know if anyone's actually done that experiment, but it seemed like a pretty interesting idea. The problem is it kind of falls into your definition of like a really, really boring lucid dream, right? Like,
yeah.
Watching the clock go really slow.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure about that one. And then a more speculative idea, just from my own experience and from what you just mentioned is to just try to simulate that longer experience by just focusing on the high points that really matter to you. Go from just, you know, get lots of just novel stuff and just really focus on remembering it and making everything memorable, being present in the dream, you know, making sure that you're not distracted or worried about other things and just doing stuff that will stick in your mind and cramming as much just raw experience as you can into the dream. And I think that makes it seem longer and just gives you more fun, you know? So to me, that would be the best that I could try. I don't think it'll get you years probably of dream time, but it seems like the best bet, you know? It's like you remember, if you go to the amusement park, you know, you remember that big downhill on the roller coaster, but you don't really remember waiting in line or driving or any of that stuff. You know, you remember the stuff that really stuck out at you and the stuff that you tried to file away.
Yeah, so that's a good point.
Yeah. Cool. So let's see, just to, I guess kind of sum all that up, hit the high points, really try to remember the experiences that you have and really file them away as you have them. I there's nothing based on snot rockets we can recommend at this time.
No, not at this time. Something you said though that I really liked was what you talked about, the brain assuming things, you know, the in-between phases, you know, like if you were, I think it might have been even, yeah, it was Box 77 that talked about baking a cake. Well, if you're baking a cake in a lucid dream, you know, you might be measuring the ingredients at one point, then mixing them at another point, and then, you know, throwing it in the oven. They may have happened like right after one after the other in the lucid dream, but your brain's going to fill in the time because, you know, in real life, you know, mm-hmm. that whole process takes about 2 hours.
Yeah.
So your
yeah.
brain's going to assume, well, there's probably 30 minutes of wait time in between each thing or whatever. And just the assumptions of your brain kind of padding the time in between each actual high point, like you were mentioning.
That was Box 77. That's a great example.
Yeah. It'll make you, when it's time to recall the dream, it'll make it seem longer, you know, because that may be for another time, the difference between how long does it feel in the moment versus how long when you're actually recalling it later.
Mm-hmm. Right, so. Right, absolutely. We're probably ready for question number two?
I think we are.
All right, so this is from Granny, all right, so you think Granny Pigums, or yeah. are we going with, see, I was also thinking like, it could be Granny Pimes, like paradigms, you know what
well,
I'm saying?
He did say something about a pig, I think.
He said something about a pig? All right. We're going to go with Granny Pigums. Granny Pigums is the name we're
wrong.
Going with. All right. If we're wrong,
brain
I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, just, you know, come beat us up on the thread if we're butchering these names, which I'm sure I am, at least. Okay, so this is Granny Pigums. What is your preferred method for stabilizing dreams? I've heard many ways, but none have ever seemed to work for me. This is a good question. The first one that I always start with are the old favorites. I go to rubbing the hands together. It's classic. It's just classic because you don't need much of a dream environment to do it. And so it's appropriate for just about any situation. So even if you are completely in the void, I like thinking about how to act, how to work in the void. I end up there a lot and I find it's pretty versatile. So I do a bunch there and, the hand rubbing's a good one because it's always going to be there and it forces your brain to produce that sensation. And you, by doing it, you're also assuming, all right, I actually have a dream body. I'm in this scene. You'll make everything a lot more substantial and it takes focus off of the sleeping body, which is what you don't want to think about. Mm-hmm. You want to be really just purely focused on the reality that's the dream side of things. Because if you're looking at the physical world and anything you're experiencing there, that pulls you away from getting hooked into the dream experience. Now, I don't know if anyone remembers episode one, and where you mentioned the make out with the ground technique.
Oh yeah,
the full Xanos. You know? just to recap, if anyone's not familiar with this, this is where Xanos he saved his South America task of the year. He had this really unstable lucid dream going on, and then he kind of flopped on the ground, and then said, "Hey, you know," and then just kind of, did I hear something?
Yeah, I was trying to do that. I've been feeling fine. Oh. Anyway,
I thought that was maybe like a kid talking. No, that's great. Yeah, well, and so yeah, he did the whole make out with the ground thing, you know, and it stabilized the dream, and he pulled off South America task of the year, diving over Angel Falls. So that's a big success right there. I did some field research on this one because it was mentioned. This was a question that we got a while back, and I said that I would try this. So I had a false awakening, and I walked to walked to my wife's side of the bed. This was, so basically it was like it was a false awakening. I realized what it was. Got up, walked to my wife's side of the bed, and I was like, all right, so I'm supposed to do this thing where I make out with the dream scene. So my first inclination was to like make out with my wife, but that's the wrong thing to do, right? Because that's not, maybe that's a fun thing to do, but that's not a good stabilization technique. So I was like, no, all right, so I'm going to make out with the mattress. You know, and so I just dived onto that mattress and, I went for it and I woke up. I don't know if this was a real awakening or a false awakening because I went into a de-aisled immediately afterward, but I woke up with my mouth kind of moving around. I mean, it was actually really embarrassing, weird. And I kind of suspect that it was a false awakening, like I just was like, oh, this isn't going to work.
Oh,
and then I
God,
woke
I
up.
Hope so.
Cause it seems a little weird to have my mouth moving around, but that was the experience I had. It did not really stabilize the scene for me. But it could be fun to try if you want to. And I was glad I tried it out and, it ended up in being a nice de-aisled chain in the end. The general approach that I just advocate, and regardless of how you do it, is to just really take in the detail of the scene, and just amaze yourself with how vivid everything that you're seeing is. And that to me is the common thread for just about all stabilization techniques. You just want to really get hooked into it and not be paying attention to the waking world and just try to bring your dream vividness up. I think those really go hand in hand. They're one and the same, trying to stabilize the dream that you're in and bringing up that dream vividness at the same time. That's all part of the same ball of wax, and just accepting that dreams can be more vivid than waking life. That's a really hard thing to swallow at first. It was for me, but to me, it's absolutely true that a dream can be more vivid than waking life, simply because you don't realize how much of your waking life sensory input is just filled in by your brain. It's not really what you're seeing. It's what you think you're seeing and, things like that. Whereas a dream, the entire thing can be constructed according to your expectations. So those are the main tips that I had, just getting in there and really, really, really getting into the scene, and making all that detail real to you. Did you have some favorite stabilization techs?
I do. And I'll stir the dirt a little bit on this one, because I'm kind of from that school that feels if you're a little, yeah, I mean, all your techniques are great, you know, great advice. I worry sometimes about dreamers, new dreamers, you know, intro students and things like that, worrying too much that when they have a lucid dream, that the first thing they have to do is stabilize. Mm-hmm. And that can cause the schema effect where, you know, where it's kind of like setting yourself up for failure. And I don't want anyone to think that when they start lucid dreaming that it's going to start out unstable and you have to stabilize, because that's not necessarily the case at all.
You know, that's a great point. In fact, yeah, I would say that, like, everything I just talked about, you are best off thinking of it as, like, vividness enhancing techniques.
Yeah.
Like, you're trying to just make the scene more vivid, you know, because that is something that, you know, that we all strive for, just, you know, getting all that detail out and really just like, oh, show me what you got. Show me, you know, have your brain show you what it can do. And you don't, you like, thinking of it as stabilization, it's like you said, it does imply that there is some destabilization demon that you have to slay.
Yeah.
You know, and really, you know, if you think of it more in positive terms of like, all right, I'm going to get crazy amounts of detail out of this dream, you know, watch me do it. And, you know, like, that to me is more that has you do everything you need to do without, you know, being based on any potentially kind of wonky schemas or anything. That's a really good point.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like you're going to have a lucid dream. It's going to be great. Now, you know, what are the boost effects that I can do here?
Yes, perfect, right.
What can I do to enhance things?
Yes.
And, again, some dreams may start out a little funky. And it really just, it's no different than, okay, you're walking to work on a rainy day. Well, sometimes I wake up. I always say that, but I hope people know what I mean. I wake up into, you know, a lucid dream, because a lot of times they start out in my bed. You know, I get up out of the bed and I think, am I awake or is it lucid? No, I'm lucid dreaming. Mm-hmm. And I'm entangled in sheets. You know, we've talked about this.
Of course,
entangled,
right.
in your bedding. I just read, or no, I was listening to a podcast actually from another DreamViews member, where they said that they wilded, and when they started the lucid dream, you know, they were still laying in their bed in the same, you know, kind of OBE style, and instead of just sort of being their feet entangled in the blankets were over their face, so they had sort of that physical encumberment, as well as they couldn't see. Mm-hmm. The sheets were just on their face, and they really couldn't get, they struggled with it, and, you know, the dream was unsatisfying, and, you know, and it didn't last as long because they had to spend too much time with that. But, you know, like we talked about in the last Q&A was, you know, that's one to walk off. You know, any time you have any destabilization, or if a lucid dream starts out fuzzy, weird, you can't see, you can't hear, you can't feel, you're in the void, whatever. This is the time to be like, okay, I'm going to put one foot in front of the other and I'm just going to walk.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I find a door, you know, if I'm having an OBE, whatever you want to call it, you know, where you feel like your lucid dream started out in your room, okay, well, your room has a door, doesn't it? Go to the door, open it, and walk out, and, you know, look for a hall light. You know, if it's not there, go to the bathroom. Is there a bathroom light? There's a mirror. You have so many tools at your disposal. So just use them. Don't feel like you have to fight with every element in your lucid dream. You'll find that stabilization will occur just because you ignore anything that would destabilize the dream.
That's right. And you know, furthermore, by doing it, you know, the way that you're talking about, where you're just expecting the next thing to work. You're like, well, yeah, okay, there's this, you know, there's no light in this room, but there's light in the next room.
Yeah.
You know, you know, you're not worried about it. You're thinking about how well lit it's going to be in the next room. And I think that is so important, just to have that positive expectation, completely, you know, everything you talked about was about moving toward, oh, this is, the situation's about to get better. It's better right over here. See, I mean, there's all this, and it's similar to, like, you know, what I'm talking about too. When you focus on increasing vividness, versus like, you know, like, oh, I got to stabilize this really messed up lucid dream. You know, you're instead saying, oh, well, it's going to get really, I'm about to get all this detail. You know, I'm about to, your brain will comply with you. Like, and so like when you say, oh, I'm going to walk into the next hallway and there's going to be all this light, you're going to get it. You know, if you really believe it's there, it is, you know, because you're building the thing as you go. So I like that. Yeah. That's a great way to do it.
Yeah. And, after the hall, there's the living room, and after the living room, there's a front door. Go outside, go to the neighbor's house. I mean, there's so many places. You know, why not just explore this environment? Even if it's dark at the start, there will be something there that you can engage more senses in.
Exactly.
And the next, another thing, it seems like every lucid dreaming question I get always goes to this answer: use preset and pre-memorized goals to stabilize a dream.
Mm-hmm.
For a couple of reasons, because then you're like, okay, this is what I wanted to do in the dream. I want to make sure that I remember that. You know, so remember that right off the bat by, remembering it during the day, remembering it when you go to bed, remember, in your wake back to bed periods. That way you have a satisfying lucid dream because you're doing what you set out to do during the day. But because it puts you in a more rational mindset in the beginning, which rational mindsets are, can be a little bit elusive.
Yeah.
In a lucid dream.
So, but it's at least the start of one. It's the seed of something better, right?
It's
starting to really, really internalize the fact that, okay, I really can do whatever I want and this is going to work. And, like getting more and more of that positive mindset going, because I don't want to underplay how much practice it takes to really do the things that we're talking about. Like, it's so simple. It's, oh, well, just believe it's there. I mean, it is easy to describe but doing it, it's not that it's hard, but it simply takes practice and repetition and learning. It's a learned skill, and you absolutely get better with practice. And the other thing I really like about what you suggested about having specific goals is that it's again another way to take your mind off of whatever you're concerned about. Like, if you're concerned about, oh God, how stable is this thing? Is this going to all fall apart on me? But no, you're not thinking about that. You're like, what was I supposed to be doing? It's bringing in your rational mind and focusing you on, all right, I am here in this dream. I'm going to be here for a while. I'm going to get some stuff done, and sets up all the right expectations, I think. So that's a great idea.
Yeah. This is the opportunity for your lucid dreaming self to be in full contact and communication with your waking life self.
Yes.
Wakeful, you said, I want to complete basic one task of the month, which, this month is, I'm going to sing the ABC song. So when it's almost like you're leaving yourself little notes, your own little pen pal now. So when you wake up from this dream, or when you wake into this dream, you're like, okay, what am I supposed to do? Okay, that's right. Wake up, Ophelia said, do the ABC song. Okay, I can do that.
That's a great point.
And, you're keeping in touch with each other in a way. And then if things go wrong in the lucid dream, you're like, oh, I couldn't remember how to do this, or this went wrong, that went wrong. Then now it's wake up, wake up version of you. It's their responsibility to recall the dream, recall the details, recall what went wrong so that you can fix it in your wake mind. And, it's this interplay that goes on and on and on and on.
That's an awesome point. Yeah. That's great because, something that I think the task of the month, and task of the year really helps to do is actually something, it's similar to a concept that Thomas Yushick describes. He's the lucid dreaming supplements guru, and he talked about breaking down the wall between the waking world and the dream world. Sounds kind of frightening, sounds kind of Nightmare on Elm Street to me, but it's this idea of like, hey, the more I can remember about waking life when I get into a lucid dream, it makes sense that the memories will, it's good practice for things going the other way too. When I wake up again, how much of this experience is going to stick with me? How well will I recall it? That I think it's a great thing to practice, and having that there, having that be the first thing you do. It's like, all right, singing ABCs, going to the girls' locker room, walking on the ceiling, all that stuff. You, like that really, really, oh, making a phone call. See, I remember it all for it. I can do it when I'm awake. It's so much harder when
I, yeah. Well, you know, it's funny this last time when I was able to do three of the tasks in a dream.
Yes. Congratulations,
and,
by the way.
Thank you. And, you know, it happens every now and then, but I tell you, a lot of members are doing this, so I don't know if I'm making them too easy or what the problem is.
No, they're great. I'm just really, this has been an awesome month for that. You know, like a lot of people are just burning it up because, like, I just got back from vacation. See, here's my I'm making excuses already.
This no,
is not
no,
meant to be
fine.
An excuse, but like I came back and you know, it was the 8th or the night of the 7th, I guess. And people had, you know, tons of people had done three tasks in a night, you know?
Yeah,
and
I know. I'm having
really
to keep
impressive.
Up with it at work. I'm like, oh, I check my little, you know, little thread, you know, on my phone or whatever, and I take a short break. I'm like, crap, two more people. I gotta give the wings. I'm like, crap, but you don't have to wait till I get home. Sorry.
Yeah, you've been winging people nonstop. It's great.
Yeah,
it's great.
It's been really cool. All right, so summing up the stabilization thing, you know, remember thinking as rationally as possible once the lucid dream starts. Which is accomplished by, you know, setting your mind to remember personal lucid tasks or goals.
Mm-hmm.
That really can temper the excitement that's caused by lucid onset. And, you know, that's remembering again that lucid dreams are very, very much emotionally driven. And when you get too excited, it might cause you to wake up, or it might cause things to be crazy and destabilized or whatever. I like to think that, you know, as you get older, you know, as I've gotten older and I've been lucid dreaming for just years and years and year, too many years now. I'm sort of over that. I mean, I always love it, that lucid onset. You're like, whoa,
yeah.
I'm a lucid dreaming.
Yeah.
But but I jump immediately to, okay, what do I need to do? Because I don't want it to end. I don't want to wake up too soon. I don't want it to be a fuzzy, crappy, you know, dream where I can't see or do anything.
Yeah, it's like you've had it's like you've been rewarded in the past when you got right down to business, did cool stuff, you know, just like, just I am gonna get in here and bang, I'm not gonna worry about anything else. And you know, when you remember the times you screwed yourself over and how sad you are when you wake up, and that's part of what's great about practice, is you just sort of naturally learn, you know, when you get good results and bad results. And you know, that's why there's just nothing that I think that really beats more time just getting in there and doing this and doing is showing up over and over, you know, doing those wake back to beds over and over, and just, you know, getting in there and getting the practice. It really just pays off. You know you learn some of it with like through all this active will, and some of you just learn naturally from doing it, you know.
Absolutely. You're kind of getting to know this other side of yourself, and once you know what this other side of you, what those inclinations are, you can learn, okay, which one of them, you know, which ones are good, which ones help me, which ones are not so helpful.
Yeah.
And you train yourself. You know, I will say it again and again and again until everybody gets it in their head. When you start that lucid dream, be Mr. Goal orientation. Well, what can I, you know, what am I supposed to do right now? And you'll be so happy when you wake up. You'll be like, okay, thank you, dreaming self, for listening to waking self.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, you and I are old enough to remember the 80s, you know, so we can get into that goal-oriented mindset or whatever, you know?
Of course.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I think that's a great way to start. The other thing that I like to add is to not, you know, just, you know, flowing with what you said before, is like, don't worry about destabilization. Think of it as I'm gonna just draw out crazy amounts of detail and vividness from the scene. And I'm serious when I say this, that a dream can be more vivid than waking life. Tons of people are listening to this and saying, that guy, full of crap. But it really is true. You know, it's just the amount of detail your brain is capable of generating when you expect it and when you demand it. You know, like, you just know it's going to happen. Like, let me see how amazing my hands are going to look, or how amazing this floor tile is going to look, and just get into it. That hooks you in. You are in there. You know, you get belted in because your brain is completely focused on generating all the stuff you've demanded, on meeting all your demands. And that it doesn't have any time to worry about like that itch on your nose, or, you know, what might be happening to your waking, or to your, you know, your waking life body, or any of that stuff. So I agree that just not thinking of it as stabilization at all. Think of it in some other way, like hey, this is I'm going to do goals, or I'm going to light just around the corner, or hey, let me just look at how detailed this thing is. That's just a much better mindset to think of it, and you know, cool stuff happens too when you do that kind of stuff.
That's true. When you said the itch on the nose thing, you totally reminded me of a detail that I left out in a dream lately.
Oh, of a recent one?
Like, yeah, one of the ones where I was trying to do that.
Your triple hitter?
No. It was last month when I was trying to go, dig the tunnel to hell, okay, and have a beer. Nice. I never did have a beer with the dang devil because that stupid...
You'll get
thing
to it.
Was,
that's going to be your white whale. You'll get it. You will get that.
Yes,
one.
This is my Moby Dick. Yeah. He is horrible. I hate him. But anyway, when we had the purgatory task last year, it was you know find a way to get to purgatory and save a soul. And I thought, well, where is purgatory? It's somewhere between here and hell, I guess. So maybe if I just push my face through the floor like I do through the mirror,
yeah,
to be like a portal, basically,
sure,
I'll get there. And of course, I would push my face through the floor, and a tunnel would go, but it would go all the way down, like all the way to hell,
yeah,
or whatever. Really creepy stuff. But anyway, I remember one time, because I wear glasses a lot. I wear them a lot more now just because I don't like messing with contacts when I have to get up like really early for the bakery. It's just,
I don't want to
mess with it. So, yeah. It's really starting to bleed over as residue into my lucid dreams. I went for years like not wearing glasses at all, and now I'm wearing them more often. So, there've been a couple times where like I'd have the glasses on, but things would be blurry. So I'd take them off, and things would be more clear, like backwards land. It was really, really weird. Or sometimes it would just be like I would have like perpetual glasses. I would take them off, and it just it was really annoying. But anyway, I get mixed results there. But one of the last hell tasks, I was getting to the floor. Okay, I'm putting my face to the carpet, get to hell, and I was suddenly really aware of my glasses, and I was like, oh shit, what do I do with them? If I'm going to smash my face with the carpet, what if the glasses fall off and fall all the way down to the bottom pit of hell, and then I can't see and I can't do anything? Because you're not, I say be rational, but sometimes you get a little irrational.
It is weird, yeah.
Well, this last time that it happened, I just remember that when you said scratch nose, I was like, oh, my glasses. And then I was like, oh, this is a lucid dream, whatever, screw it, I don't care.
Yeah,
and,
nice.
And I just left them on. Because I think that there was a time before that where I actually took them off, and then I don't remember what happened after that. But I left them on. I pushed my face through the carpet. The hole to hell appeared, and I don't remember anything else about my glasses after that. It wasn't an issue. So isn't that weird?
Yeah. That's funny.
Are we ready for question number three?
Sure. Yeah, we can do that.
I'm going to say that his name is Fogelbeast.
Yeah, I was going to say Fogelbeast too. You think that it's... So Fogel, that's like... It's like bird in some language.
Yeah, Fogel is bird in German, but I thought...
Well, it's like with a V in German, right?
Yeah. Anyway, but I love his question. This is like the best question probably I've ever had, in my opinion. Common lucid dreaming mistakes. He asks, what do you think is the most common mistakes in going after regular lucid dreams?
Yeah.
And I'm just going to hit like the what I'm going to call them the grand three.
Oh, okay.
These are the grand three, and in my opinion, everything pretty much could kind of fall underneath it. But number one, again, if you start your lucid dream thinking and believing that you have to stabilize, you're already setting yourself up for failure. You need to remember again that the lucid dreams are driven highly, highly, highly by emotions. So don't start the dream out by doubting yourself. Don't start the dream out before you go to sleep by doubting yourself, by saying that you're going to have to stabilize. We covered all that already.
Anyway,
the second thing, sleep. Oh my God, sleep. Sleep. You cannot lucid dream if you don't sleep, obviously. And not just sleep, but you've got to get whatever your personal required amount is, which you have to figure that out for yourself. For me, it's like 5,000 million hours.
Right.
I don't know why.
it's so true. And I don't know if you're like me, but this is the one I always kind of think I can start breaking, kind of cheating on, I'm always like, wow, you know, I can stay up an extra hour and I'll only get six. I bet I can still LD, you know, like I'll start thinking that kind of crap, even though it almost never works. Like I always start believing it, like, oh yeah, man, I got this.
Yeah, this is a huge one. Yeah, I don't know if that's a schema thing, but I like to think that that one really is truly related to your body chemistry, how much sleep you really need, you know, based on how you are naturally, and maybe based on what you're doing to yourself during the day, you know.
Well, yeah, it's absolutely true. I mean, okay, so at the end of your sleep cycle, that's when you get those really, really rich, long, close together periods of REM, and that's when your brain chemistry is starting to get more geared toward being awake. You know, and that's when you've got just the best shot at your rational mind kicking in and realizing that it's a dream, and then having enough REM to actually do something about it. You know,
absolutely.
Like it's just got way better odds. I agree. This is a huge one.
And there are some people who really just sleep so little. Einstein needed 4 hours of sleep per night, just, you know, to function or whatever, and you know. PGMs needs like 9 seconds and she can have all the lucid dreams. I know, right? Well, you know, I don't know what makes the difference if it's a schema or if it's just, you know, yeah, your body chemistry or maybe even just the emotional and stress levels you have during the day or your diet, you know, all kinds of things going on during the day may require you more downtime, more, you know, really hard, long, deep sleep before you get to those really long, juicy REM cycles.
Yeah, that's right.
So again, that's for you to figure out. I'm not saying, oh, what you're doing with yourself during the day is crappy and you need to fix that so you can sleep, you know, 6 hours and have a lucid dream. No, I'm not saying that at all. You just, you know, because for me, unfortunately, my lucid dreams are kind of dependent on my days off because that's the time that I can sleep in as late as I want. And, or, you know, I'll do these massive wake back to beds. Yeah. I'll get, my boyfriend will get up early for work. I'll go back to bed. I'll get my son off to school. I'll go back to sleep. I'll wake up maybe another time, take the dogs out, go back to sleep. It's just crazy.
Like, are we talking like a couple hours?
Yeah. Like it'll start at 5 and I'll lucid dream anywhere between 7 and 10 in the morning.
Oh yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
I'm a real princess. I admit it when it comes to my sleep, and, you know, and I have this, you know, this fan with the white noise and I have all these little elements and, you know,
that's perfect though. You know, I mean, cause yeah, you give yourself that time to just get really relaxed, get all, if your body needs a deep sleep, get it taken care of,
absolutely.
You know, and then after that, it's just got plenty of time to just have that relaxed, nice REM, and you're just right on the edge of being awake. Beautiful time for it, yeah.
And it's one of those things that it was always the case with me, but until I really truly said, okay, this is what I need to lucid dream, then suddenly I started having tons and tons and tons more.
Oh, yeah?
Before they were so, 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 so few and far between, and when I finally just said, okay, this is how much sleep I need.
Yeah.
Here are the days I'm going to get it, and I will do the ritual. I'll do the requirements. I'll write my dream journal. I'll go to bed when I'm supposed to. I'll get up when I'm supposed to, and, you know, and have my goals and all, you know, all the routine and all the discipline. And so those days that I get the sleep that I need, it's pretty much, you know, 9 out of 10 times, if I follow my rules that I know I need to follow, I'll have the lucid dream.
This is huge. I'm really, really glad you emphasized this one, because it's one of those that you can, it's easy to believe it's disposable, and it just is so important. It's hard to get around. I mean, it seems logical, you know, you think, well, to have a lucid dream, I probably ought to sleep every now and then, you know, but it's godly. It's easy to convince yourself that I can stay up a little later.
Exactly.
I can work and stress myself out right before I fall asleep and I'll still have great dreams.
I know. I'll be a big old baby. I'll be like, I don't want to go to bed right now. I want to stay up and play. And then you're like, oh, I'll just watch another movie. 2 o'clock. Yeah. I could probably.
Oh,
no.
Gosh. that's another area where it is important, I think, to be motivated and excited to do it, because you've got to choose, like when you have to make choices like that, like, am I going to play 2 hours of video games or am I going to like actually go to sleep, you know, in time to have a shot at an LD? You know, you've got to be motivated and excited, or it's just going to be like, nah, I'll just do this other activity. And so because I don't know, in life, sleep is always something that was kind of easy for me to sacrifice, even though I knew it made me feel kind of crappy the next day. But LD has really kind of swung it over to the other way for me, like where I'm like, all right, I got to get to sleep, because not only am I going to feel bad the next day, I'm not going to probably have a lucid if I don't, you know, get some sleep. So
it's so worth it. You know, it's worth it for the lucid dreaming. And it's worth it, too, because the more often that you establish whatever your regular sleep pattern is, whatever you decide it is, the more, you know, regularly that you do it, then the more you can kind of experiment and hone in on what it does, on what you need that makes you lucid dream better.
Yes.
The more regular you are with that, the more you can really say, okay, this doesn't work, this does, this doesn't, this does. And then every night that you go to bed, it is 100% choice whether or not you're going to have a lucid dream. Because now you know what you need.
Yeah,
and there's
that's
no
right.
more, oh, I'm stressed, oh, I don't feel good. Or, you know. You
sound like me.
I sound like me, too. Because it's been a long process, you know.
Yeah.
It's taken a lot of, again, I'm going to bring up Einstein. He said, what is it, the definition of insanity is, you know, when you do the same thing over and over again, but you expect a different result. I'm going to go to bed at 3 a.m. I feel good. I feel fine. I'll get plenty of sleep. I'm going to have a lucid dream. And then I'm like, oh, man.
What's that guy know? He only slept 4 hours a night anyway.
I hate him. But it's true, you know, and the more real you are with yourself.
Yeah.
It's about you. It's not about it what is. Everyone else in Dreamviews is doing.
That's right. That's
it's
right.
100% about you and your universe and what works for you.
Absolutely
and
right.
And it's worth it to work out all those details. And then it's an ongoing process, too. You know, you don't know, God, what worked for me 5 years ago is a little bit different now. So you need to really be on top of what you what works for you so that you know if something in your life is going to change it.
Totally agree. I mean, it's so personal, you know, like, you can't be comparing yourself to the people that just like sit down on the toilet and wild, you know, I mean, like you got your own style, like especially like when you're starting out early on and everything. And like, you want to give yourself just every opportunity to hit the right notes and get those experiences that build you toward being able to do the more advanced stuff. I haven't moved past that stage. I need to be fresh as a daisy and get my wake back to bed and all that, you know. and this is great. This is probably the most important bit of the whole podcast is just how important this is.
Yeah,
totally agree.
Sleep, definitely. And this is part of the big three. It really could kind of fall under sleep, but I wanted to talk about drugs and alcohol, you know, legal or illegal, whatever. I'm not saying I'm for or against it. I'm just I really want to stress the fact that when you have any kind of chemical in your body, there is a certain amount of time that you're asleep that your body is going to be processing, you know, your liver is going to be removing it, you know, whatever the body does anatomically to process these chemicals, it kind of takes away from your overall sleep. The way I kind of look at it, it's like if I'm going to go out, you know, my boyfriend and I, we're going to go have tacos and margaritas. You know, if I have like two margaritas, I like to look at that as, well, whenever I go to bed, subtract an hour per drink from my overall sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what my, and I don't know how accurate that is, but I like to think of it that way because that is the time that my body needs to recuperate from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that does tend to, it's true. It tends to either delay or completely annihilate my lucid dreams.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Alcohol does delay REM. There can be a rebound effect from it, but I don't really recommend it as a as a lucid
true.
Aid. You know, yeah,
yeah, no, there is a rebound effect, and you know, I might have a lucid dream and it's okay, but you know, then you know, versus if I go to bed and I don't have margaritas or something, then it's oh my gosh, my dreams are so much longer and they're more reliable.
Yeah,
that's the other thing. You get a lot more reliability if you don't. Now, again, I'm not saying, oh, you suck if you know drink before you go to bed, but it's just it's one of those details that you need to think about and consider when you're trying to really hone in and work out all the kinks in your lucid dreaming process. Is alcohol will probably either delay, slow down, or annihilate your ability to lucid dream the way you want.
Right.
So,
right.
So work around it. Figure out how you're going to do it. Figure out, well, tonight I'm going to drink. I'm not going to lucid dream. Tomorrow I won't drink and I will. You know, however you want to work it out, it's entirely up to you. But they do take away from your overall sleep, because now your body is having to deal with the chemical, and your REM pattern is going to be shot.
Yeah, right. It will be different. And that's an area where I'm a big believer in taking good notes, keeping good records, and finding out exactly how these things affect you, you know, because you know, for some people it may just be like you get one drink in you and you're just knocked out, you know, no dreaming whatsoever, or you know, like I remember Zano. Well, there's always Zano stories in these podcasts, but I remember, you know, him like, well, I had one of my wife's vodka flavored slushy drinks and I had this amazing lucid dream, you know. I was like, all right, dude, you know. it's you know, people just react differently to different foods, you know, and things like alcohol, and you know, keeping good notes of what you consumed the night before, if it's unusual, especially, really, I think helps you figure out how you react and how, you know, your body's personal reaction to that kind of stuff. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, because you know, one drink before you go to bed might be just the ticket, you know, who knows. Yeah. Or if you're on a prescription medication, you know, how is that helping or how is it hindering?
And,
you know,
oh yeah, yeah. Good example.
You know, what can you do to, you know, let it help you or work around it? What, you know, whatever there's, I'm not preaching anything about it. Yeah. It's just a detail. It's an element to consider.
Yeah. Remember, it's there. It's like, I don't know if you've ever had the experience of like popping a multivitamin before bed. And then I don't know if it's the B vitamins in there or whatever. And that can affect, dream content, you know? Yeah. 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 Yeah, B6. And, yeah, cool. Did you have any more on that or,
Nope. Those are my three biggies.
Okay. Yeah. Those are excellent. Yeah. If I had to name the biggest mistake probably that I see people making, it's when they stop or they just don't do it. Because to succeed, you have to show up and you have to keep showing up. That's the most important part of this whole thing, is to just, you just have to do it and keep practicing and find the motivation to keep at it. You know, find something that excites you and motivates you, and don't stop showing up. I mean, I think that's true for succeeding in tons of things, is that most people in most things, they just at some point they give up on it. You know, they get interested in other things, and that's okay. It's not to say that that's bad, but when you really really want to improve at a skill, just it's easy to underestimate just how important it is to show up and play. You know, and I think that's a huge one. Is just not understanding where people started out. You know, and just how. You know, just not understanding that that people's skills. You know, you do have natural lucid dreamers, but you got a lot of us that did not have any ability to lucid dream or even recall dreams. You know, like that kind of goes into my next one, is how easy it is to underestimate how trainable dream skills really are. Mm-hmm. You know, people thinking, well, you know, like I just don't remember any dreams, and then thinking that's the way you are, like you're static, you know, and you're not static, you know, these are skills that you can learn, and even if you don't feel like you're a natural at something now, it can become something that you're at least pretty good at. It can be another tool that you pick up. Like dream recall, hugely trainable skill. You know, because I remember when I was first getting into this, I had maybe one or two dreams a month that I would recall. You know, I didn't pay attention to that stuff, you know, but then I heard a podcast about lucid dreaming and then had a spontaneous one. And then I was like, what the hell was that? You know,
cool.
And then just started looking into it. And then it's like, all right, I got to learn how to recall dreams. Like, oh God, you know? And then, but yeah, you start writing it down, you start learning, you just try, you know, you go for it and keep that consistency up, because, you know, we're forming new habits. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're changing,
yes.
You know, and you know, like when you're forming a habit, a good or bad habit, you know, you do it by repetition and by rewarding yourself when you do the thing that you want to keep doing, you know, like that's the, we respond to that. We're creatures driven by our reward systems. And so when you do it right, you know, get excited about it and pat yourself on the back. I think, you know, people, just, you know, don't come up with a framework to be consistent sometimes. And that's all part of, you know, this whole ball of wax of just, stopping too soon, not thinking, not understanding just how much better you can get at the skills, and that even if you're starting from a place where, you know, you just don't have a whole lot of dream skills to speak of at all, That's not the permanent. That's not your permanent situation. You know, it's just something you can practice your way out of. You really can. Another mistake that I think is easy to make sometimes is just kind of forgetting that the end goal of all this, at least for me, and I think for most of us, is to just have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really is just about having fun experiences. You can't take this stuff too seriously. You can't get too upset about dreams, especially non-lucid dreams. You know, people can get a little wigged out about it. And maybe sometimes making these experiences out to be more than they are, you know, feeling fear, all that stuff is not really necessary, I think. When you emphasize the fun side of it, you know, versus just like, oh, feeling bad or comparing yourself to, it's like, oh, I don't have as many LDs as, you know, Brandon Boss or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Like you gotta just view it as this is a way that I can experience, you know, something fun, the fullness of life, all that stuff. And, you know, just enjoy it, you know, 'cause that will help motivate you. You know, when something is enjoyable, it's something you look forward to. It brings you pleasure. It's something you'll keep wanting to do. 'Cause I mean, that's what it's about. Like when you enjoy something, your brain learns, hey, we got to do this again. That was fun. You know, it's often manipulated in a bad way when you eat certain kinds of foods or whatever. And then, what you want to do is build up that feeling of just you know, enjoying what you're doing and not putting too much pressure on yourself or being too hard on yourself. And this is one that I forget to do sometimes. I'll start, you're like, oh God, you know, it's been too long since I had an LD, and what the hell am I doing? I'm not trying hard enough. And, you know, I mean, in the end, you got to be good to yourself and just enjoy it, I think. A less fundamental mistake, but one that I want to bring up just because I made it and it was a big mistake for me, blowing off wake back to bed, that whole idea of it. I blew it off because I read about it. And I was,
how dare you?
I know. I read about it in LeBears and I was like, hell no, I'm not doing it. Get up in the middle of the night like some kind of, you know, vampire and wander around for a half an hour, an hour or whatever. And like, this is crazy. You know, this is nuts and I cannot make this work. I have a wife and blah, blah, blah. And I totally get all those reasons because those were my thought processes. And then I finally had an accidental wake back to bed to get my second lucid dream. And that had been after over a month of trying and failing. And then I had an accidental one. And like where my wife, bless her, let me sleep in one day when the kids were up early. And I kind of woke up and I, you know, looked around and I was like, oh man, they're awake so early. And then I, you know, probably went to the bathroom, went back to bed and then had my LD. And I was like, you know what? That was wake back to bed. And it worked immediately.
Nice.
So, you know, and then for one other mistake that I think can hit more experienced lucid dreamers is just letting confidence slip and forgetting what you're capable of, I think. And this is a hard one. We all wrestle with this, I think, is just coming up with reasons that, oh, well, I used to be able to do it, but it doesn't seem to work now. Or, you know, did I really do all that? And, you know, because after a while, especially in a dry spell, it can feel like that stuff happened a million years ago. Like it happened to somebody else. You know, like, you know, can I really still do this? And it can really start shaking your confidence. And I think a great remedy for that is to keep a really good dream journal and read it, you know, go back
Yes.
and read all the badass stuff you did in the past and just re-motivate yourself and remember what you're capable of and don't forget it, you know? And just keep that motivation up and have something you're excited about. And just remember that you're going to do fun stuff that's exciting to you. And if you're not motivated, you're not going to make any effort to do it, I think. So
now that reading your own journal is so huge, that goes along with what I was saying earlier about, you know, wakeful you being in touch with lucid dreaming you.
Yeah.
It's so easy to forget those lucid dreams because they're things you don't do really that much in real life. It's like,
yeah.
It's crazy whimsical stuff. And so go back and read those dreams, you know, get back in touch with, you know, that part of you that lucid dreams, and it really does enhance like how often you have them or like how vivid your next one will be. Sometimes I'm guilty of this. I'll go for a long time without reading my journal, and then I'll hit a dry spell. It's like it takes a dry spell to do it, and then I'll go back and read. I'm like, oh, I did did that?
Yeah.
Especially if it's guess. Like, you, yeah, seriously. Then that goes back with what you were saying before about the losing your confidence, because then you'll be like, I really did the okay. I did those things. Those are yeah. really cool. It's so easy to lose your confidence when you think I should be on a streak of lucid dreaming, and then you're not, and then you yeah. suck, and then but so okay, whatever. For whatever reason, right now it ain't happening. Go back and see what you did, because if you did it, you can do it again.
Yeah, exactly. It puts you back in that mindset. It kind of widens the aperture a bit, you know, and it brings you in. You look at the broader. Array of things that you've done, and it makes that your present again. You're like, I remember that. It takes you back to those moments, and they become yours again. You know, it's like you remember them again, and you kind of go over those old memories and those old patterns, and it brings back that mindset, that confidence that you had at that time. I think it's a great thing to do.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, I guess we can probably, that was all I had, so I can think we can sum up. I liked your big three, and if I have them right, it was. Don't go in there with a lack of confidence thinking you got to stabilize or you're screwed.
Yeah.
That's bad. tip number two, sleep. Uh-huh. Get a little sleep. It doesn't hurt. Number three was basically, you know, watch the boozing, you know, or at least be aware of what aware, effect yeah. that and any other, you know, substances you're, you know, ingesting or whatevering. Could have on your dreaming. Those are the big three for you. And then for me, just don't stop, you know, I mean, you know, unless you lose interest. I'm not saying that it's wrong to, you know, want to take a break, but yeah, you keep showing up and practicing. The practice is valuable and you do learn from it, and you can get way, way, way better from practicing it. Even if it doesn't feel like it. I mean, you feel like you're a long way off from where you want to be. You can come a long way and get way, way better at all these kinds of skills. I like doing Wake Back to Bed. Don't blow it off. If life circumstances don't allow you to do it, I understand that, you know, I really do, but don't just blow it off because it sounds like a pain in the ass. That was my mistake. And I just want to save anyone that's listening from that mistake. If you have the option of doing it, give it a good try. Don't lose confidence. You know, read your dream journal. If you've had lucids in the past, you can absolutely do it again. And you know, there's just nothing stopping you. Except your confidence temporarily taking a bit of a hit. Like, you know, you're focused on that dry spell that's become your reality and how you see the world. And you know, go back to your dream journal and try to get back in that mindset of success again. Can do what you used to do, because you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was it, I think. So yeah, look, thanks everyone for the questions, especially to Daredevil Pone, Granny Pigums, and Fogelbeast. Perfect pronunciation right there.
Yes, it was perfect.
So did we do it? Did we keep it under an hour? Oh no, not even close. Look at this.
It will be under an hour after you edit out my bloopers. I don't know which ones he's going to edit out. You'll find out, you know, tomorrow, the next day. I don't have any big news for the forum right now. I know we're working on tutorials and getting them kind of squared away so that they'll be a little more standardized. So that's kind of on the to-do list for the next month or so. But I wanted to go ahead and just kind of remind everyone of I have the three C's now, and that is community, classes, and come to the forum. You know, we have a wonderful DreamViews community. Everyone who comes here and posts in the on-topic sections, they're here to make you feel welcome, make you feel like you can ask any question and it will get answered, whether it's by staff or not. It doesn't have to even be a staff member. There's so many people here who aren't, you know, in a staff position, who are amazing dreamers and have years of wonderful experience. They can help you out. Yeah. If that's not enough for you, then you can join one of the classes. We have DreamViews Academy classes, different levels, different types of, you know, based on different types of methods or whatever. And we also have currently, every Wednesday at about 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, one of our intro class apprentices, Chimpertainment, who's a wonderful dreamer, he he teaches about either a half an hour to an hour class on the DreamViews IRC. So you can either, you know, PM me or Canis Lucidus or Chimpertainment and find out details about that if you want to join. And last and certainly not least, come to the forum. If you're in a dry spell, if you don't know what you're doing, just showing up to the forum, like you were saying, just show up.
Yeah.
Making the effort to show up, even if you don't want to post anything or ask anything or PM anyone about anything, you don't want to even be active in any way, just coming to the forum and reading about everything. You could read the lessons in the classes. You don't have to participate. You can, you know, read, go to the Start Here section, which is on the main page, and read about the induction techniques. You can go to the off-topic sections and, you know, see who's talking about what, whatever drives you to come to this forum.
It's the Wild West out there.
It is. Oh, it's fun. And then the whole dream journal blog section, reading other people's dreams, you know, not just your own, can be very inspirational in helping you get to where you want to go, you know, lucid-wise. So community classes, come to the forum. With those three things, you can't go wrong.
Awesome. You know, that's probably the only thing I'm going to remember in my next LD. I won't remember task of the month, but I'm going to remember these three C's, and I have no idea what to do.
The three C's. Well, this is how I remember my goals in lucid dreaming. You know, I have to make three things either start with the same letter, or they have to connect somehow, or rhyme, or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, it'll be. I'll get into some LD, and I'll be like, all right, community classes, come to the forum. What the hell does that mean?
Oh well, that was all I had for my outro. Sweet LDs, y'all.
Beautiful. I can make that work.